Ephesians chapter 4, we'll begin reading this morning in verse 17 as we continue our study through the book of Ephesians. We'll be going 17 through 20 through 32 of chapter 4. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over unto lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. But ye have not so learned Christ. If so be that ye have heard him and have been taught by him, as the truth is in Jesus, that ye put off concerning the former conversation the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that ye put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. Let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands a thing which is good, that he may have to give to him that needeth. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that it may minister grace unto the hearers. And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed unto the day of redemption. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tender hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank you today for this good day that you've given us. We thank you, Lord, for everyone who's come out and for giving us the health so that we can come out to the service today. We know that some are not with us because they're not feeling well. We ask that you would bless them and meet their needs today. And Lord, for us who are here, we pray that you might minister to our hearts from the Word of God. This is a very practical passage that has things all of us need to hear. May we determine, Lord, that we're going to be the kind of servant you want us to be. As chapter 4 of Ephesians verse 1 says, that we would walk worthy of the vocation that you've given us as a child of God. So minister to our hearts today, give enablement to bring this message. And Lord, if there's one here who has never yet trusted Jesus as their Savior, we pray that today would be the day of faith for them. We also want to pray for our country today, Lord, that you might give direction to our country. We know it's available because you've given us that in your word. But Lord, our country today is in so many ways just departed from you and is acting as if we don't really desire your counsel. I pray you'd bring revival to this land. We pray for those and of our military, Lord, who are serving their country and various places of the world, that you would watch over them today and bless them, and we thank you for their sacrifices. And bless this time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. God wants his people to be successful. In the book of Joshua, the Lord told Joshua this: "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. And then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. Have not I commanded thee? Be strong and of good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee, whithersoever thou goest." The child of God has the Lord with him. And because the Lord's with us and he is all powerful, he can, he will, and he really desires to make us successful. And he will do that, as I say, if we will allow him to. God wants his people to be successful. He also expressed this desire in Psalm 1, where we read these words: "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of the sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water, that bringeth forth its fruit in season." And it goes on to say, "And whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." God wants the child of God to be successful. He wants him to prosper. When the Apostle Paul worked with believers in the early church, he desired that his ministry would be successful. We read that in Philippians chapter 2, and not only that his ministry be successful, but that those he ministered to would also be successful for the Lord. In Philippians chapter 2, we read these words. Wherefore, in verse 12, wherefore, my beloved brethren, or my beloved, as ye have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Sometimes we say, but you don't know where I live, or you don't know about my family, or you don't know about my workplace. God says, I know about that. You live in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, and the word nation there means generation, among whom you can shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Paul said, you can be successful, and if you'll do what God wants you to do, and if you'll be that light in the dark world, then my ministry will be successful too, because I have taught you and I've instructed you to live that way. So Paul was interested in this, in success. Success is guaranteed to us if we will yield to the Spirit of God who lives in the Christian. The Bible says in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the desires of the flesh or the lust of the flesh. Walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the desires of the flesh. Our sinful desires do not have to be satisfied. We can be victorious. Walk in the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh. You will be successful. But we must be deliberate in our choices. We must decide that's what we want, and we must make deliberate choice to be that for the Lord. In the passage we're examining this morning, we are told in verse 30, you read it as we read this morning, verse 30, it says, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God. Grieve not the Holy Spirit. God is working in us through His Spirit to make us successful. He wants us to be successful as a servant of Jesus Christ, but we must not grieve Him as He works in us. We must not hinder His work. He wants us to be successful. We can be successful. He's working to make that possible, but we must not grieve Him. We must not hinder the work He's doing. Before verse 30, where it says, don't grieve the Spirit, He tells us some things that we are to put off and some things that we are to put on. In other words, He's talking about spiritual dress. If you want not to grieve the Spirit, if you want to be successful, having the Spirit of God work in you and accomplish what He wants. And to do that, if you want to be successful, then you've got to put off some things and you have to put on some things. You have to dress for success. So this morning I've entitled the message, Dressing for Success for Jesus. God wants us to dress for success. Now in the passage today, I want to show you some things about that. We're going to examine how we can dress for success for the Lord Jesus Christ. I have four things that I want to mention in this passage, and they're exactly what God says here in verses 17 through 32. There's several verses here. I thought about trying to break it up so we wouldn't have so much to cover this morning, but it all fits together. So we've got to deal with all these verses. So let's begin by looking at the things that we can do, or how we can have success, how we can dress for success for the Lord Jesus. Notice what the first one is, and that is you must reject the walk of the world. Now, all of us know the world has characteristics. The world, by the world, I mean the world system out there that's controlled by the devil, the people who are following the devil, doing what the devil wants them to do. The whole world system is opposed to Jesus Christ. And so we must determine that we're going to reject what the world does. We're going to reject the walk of the world, the walk that characterizes the world. Now, he mentions here Gentiles. Gentiles were those who were not Jews, and the Gentiles were generally speaking those who rejected Jesus Christ. Of course, the Jews ended up doing that as well. But he's talking about the Gentiles, but it would mean the world as we think of it today. So let's notice the characteristics of the world's walk. This is what we're to reject. We have to understand this is the way the world is, and we need to reject these things. Let's list them. Verse 17. The first thing about the world is that it's vain. Verse 17. This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not. In other words, reject this walk. Don't walk this way. As the other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their minds. Vain means empty. Vanity of their minds means they're empty in their mind. They're aimless in their pursuit. They're purposeless as far as God is concerned. God would look down and say to the world, what's your purpose of living? And they would tell him, well, I want this and this. And God would say, that's purposeless. I mean, there's no fruit to that. There's no success in that. Well, I want bigger lands, or I want a bigger house, or I want a better car, or I want a better wife. Some many people doing that today, you know. I want this and this. And the Lord would say, that's vain. That's empty. It's not going to satisfy you. And that's the way the world walks. And the Lord says, walk not that way. Reject the walk of the Lord. Reject the vanity of the mind. Also, he says, here's another thing about them. They're darkened in their understanding. Verse 18. Having the understanding darkened, they cannot understand the light that's available to them. Now, we know that's true today because one reason we know that is because the world in general today seems to believe the theory of evolution. The theory of evolution says we evolved, you know, it all started by chance and from a very small thing, things begin to happen, and now we are the capstone of all that evolution, and man is proud because he's so much better than others. Well, why do they do that? Why do they believe that? Because they reject the light that's been given to them. All around us is light. I mean, evidence. All around us is evidence that God created, that God made this. I mean, the beauty and the order and the complexity, all of that speaks of a creator who makes a wise creator, a good creator. The heavens declare the glory of God, the Bible says. All of that says there is someone who's very special, who loves us, who did this for us. But these people, the world in general, their understanding is darkened. They cannot see that. They can't see the light that God has given. And so they reject that. Another thing about the world's walk is that they make these decisions because they're vain in their mind. Their understanding is darkened. They're alienated from the life of God. The Lord says, I want you to understand now, before you start envying the world, before you'd want to desire to be like the world, you need to understand what the world is. He says, reject their walk because their walk is they're alienated from the life of God. They don't have the life of God. The Bible tells us in Ephesians 2, verse 1, what we were before we were saved. We were dead in trespasses and sins. So they have no spiritual life. They're dead. That means they're separated from God. They can't fellowship with God. They can't really pray and have their prayers answered because sin stands as a barrier between them and God. They're separated from God. They're dead. Now, that's spiritual death. Physical death is separation of the soul and spirit from the body. Spiritual death is separation of the spirit of the person from God himself. And that's their condition. Alienated from the life of God. Another thing about them is they're ignorant. Look at verse 18. Alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that's in them. Professing themselves to be wise, the Bible says, they become fools. The ignorance that's in them. Have you ever been astounded as a Christian by the ignorance of the world? I mean, there's so many things that they come up with and you say, this doesn't make sense. It's not common sense. Where has common sense gone today? Or a mind that's alienated from God and rejects God, if they make that kind of decision, they're going to make a lot of other decisions that are really ignorant. And God looks at the world and says, it's really ignorant, the decisions they're making. And so he says, avoid that walk, reject that walk. They're ignorant of spiritual things. They're ignorant of things that are of value. They're ignorant when it comes to making choices. They make wrong choices. But then notice as he goes on to describe them, he says in verse 18, the alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that's in them, because of the blindness of their heart. Some translations translate blindness, the hardness of their heart. And it's a word that can mean hardness as well. And so they're blind and they have a hard heart. They've rejected the word of God. They don't want anything to do with God. And so the world in general has this characteristic that they're hardened to the things of God. They're blind to the things of God. And we know the Bible tells us that Satan helps that, because Satan blinds the minds of people lest they believe the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. The devil doesn't want you to believe. The devil doesn't want you to accept Christ. And so he blinds your eyes so that you will not do that. They're blinded. Blindness has hardened their hearts and they can't see. But then notice verse 19. This description just keeps on going about the world. Who being past feeling. They're insensitive to spiritual things. Past feeling. Insensitive to spiritual things. Spiritually calloused. You've probably known people like that. No doubts. Many of us in this room, you can remember the time that we were that way. You can remember when the time when spiritual things didn't mean anything to you. You weren't interested in the things of God. You weren't interested in the Bible. You weren't interested in the Word of God, the Bible. You weren't interested in church. You weren't interested in God's people. You didn't want to be around them. You weren't interested in the teachings of the Word of God. You were hardened to that. You were callous to that. You didn't want anything to do with it. That's a characteristic of the world. The Lord says to the Christian, if you want to be successful, you need to reject the walk of the world. Don't be like they are. Let's move on. Notice another thing. Verse 19. Being past feeling, have given themselves over into lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness with greediness. That's an interesting description of the world today. They've given themselves over to lasciviousness. Now in Romans chapter 1, it talks about one of the reasons that people go into homosexuality is because God has given them over to a reprobate mind. They choose all these wrong things, and finally the Lord says, all right, I'm just going to let you go and just do what you want to do. And they are giving themselves over to a reprobate mind, and they do many terrible things. That's one side of it. But here's the other side. Here's the side that says they themselves have given themselves over to lasciviousness. And really those two parts explains it, because even Romans says they made these choices, they rejected the Lord, they wouldn't have anything to do with Him, and then God gave them over. But before God ever gave them over, they gave themselves over to lasciviousness. They chose that. And so here he says they gave themselves to lasciviousness. The word lasciviousness means all kinds of wickedness. It means terrible things. It means things that would make you sick to think about. And we know of sins like that. We hear so much of it today. I don't even want to mention some of the things this morning, but all these terrible sins that you hear. Now, why do people do that? Look at verse 19. They've given themselves over to lasciviousness, to work all uncleanness. So it's not just moral things, but all kinds of uncleanness with greediness. You've heard today about all the talk about the greed on Wall Street. Let me tell you something. Greed is not limited to Wall Street. Greed is not limited to Wall Street. Greed is a characteristic of the world. Why do people do these terrible sins? I mean, why would people molest a child? Why would people do the other terrible things we hear of today? Why is it that? Why is it? Because they've given themselves over to lasciviousness, to all kinds of uncleanness with greediness. They do it to satisfy themselves and they don't care about anybody else. When a Wall Street person makes a greedy decision to fatten themselves financially and in the process they hurt somebody else and it doesn't bother them, we call that greed. God says there's other kinds of greed. And the world is given to this kind of greed, uncleanness, all kinds of uncleanness. Now, we're talking about being successful for the Lord. What's the first step? If you're going to be successful for the Lord, you must make a decision right up front. I reject the world and the way it walks. I'm not going down that path. I see it clearly. I don't want it. I'm not going to have anything to do with it. I reject it. And you'll have that opportunity in your life every day to do that. To see something and reject it. Have it posed to you and say no. And so Christians are to do that all the time. We're to reject the walk of the world. But notice the second thing we're to do. We're to remember the way of Christ. Look at verse 20. Paul says it like this, but ye have not so learned Christ. When you came to know Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you realize that on the cross of Calvary, He died for your sins, all those wicked things of the world, He died for that. Those things that you were participating in, He died for that. He died for your sins on the cross of Calvary. He was buried. He rose again the third day. You accepted Him as your personal Savior. And He forgave you of all those sins. He gave you His righteousness. And He asked you to walk for Him and to serve Him because you love Him. And Paul is saying, look, all those things in the world, that's totally contrary to who you are and what Jesus has done for you. And he says this, ye have not so learned Christ. It's so inconsistent for a child of God to participate in the works of the world, the walk of the world, and all these terrible things we've just mentioned. It's inconsistent for a child of God to do that. That's not what a Christian is. That's totally contrary to what Jesus did for you. Ye have not so learned Christ. Remember the way of Christ. Now notice verse 21. If so be, and the construction there is that it's saying, and it is, this is true that ye have learned Him, that ye have heard Him, that ye have been taught by Him as the truth is in Jesus. You've heard Him. Does the Spirit of God who lives in the Christian tell the Christian to do any of those bad things mentioned in those first verses? The walk of the Gentile, walk of the world? No. The Spirit of God tells us not to do those things. You have heard the Lord. He speaks to your heart. You've heard Him speak. He says you have heard Him and you've been taught by Him. What's the Word of God teach us? Does the Word of God teach us to do those terrible things as Christians? You know, well, you're saved and it doesn't really matter how you live. No, it doesn't teach us that. It teaches us to do right things. So you've been taught. And then He says, as the truth is in Jesus. Jesus said this, I am the way, the truth, and the life. The truth. All of these things that are mentioned as characteristics of the world are things that are false. They're lies. They're deceitful lust. They promise you things that they cannot give you. Happiness and contentment and peace and all those things. It can't give you that. It's all based on lies. But the Lord says the truth is in Jesus. So you have the choice. Here's this world based on lies from the devil, all these bad things, or the truth that you find in Jesus Christ. Which are you going to choose? The Lord says, if you want to be successful for Christ, here's the first two things you need to do. Reject the world and remember who you are in Christ Jesus, what He's done for you. Remember who you are. You're a child of God. And that world is totally inconsistent with the walk of a child of God. Now, let's notice the next thing. The next thing is found in verse 23. And that is, renew the mind. How am I going to be successful as a Christian? Reject the world. Remember what I have in Christ. Remember the way of Christ. And then thirdly, renew the mind. Renew the mind. Verse 23 says it like this, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind. Renewed in the spirit of your mind. There's not a lot in the scripture that speaks on the particulars of that, but I believe there's enough that we can understand what it means. Our minds are renewed, I believe, by the Word of God. Our minds are renewed by service to the Lord Jesus. Our minds are renewed by God's people encouraging us. The Bible says in Romans chapter 12, and be not conformed to this world, verse 2, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Renewing of your mind, it's the word that means renovating your mind, cleaning out your mind, taking out bad thoughts and putting in right thoughts. How do we do that? We do that from the Word of God. So if we're going to be successful for the Lord, we've got to renew our mind, and that means we have to have our mind focused on right things, and it begins with the Word of God, renewing our mind. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 16 says, "Let the inward man is renewed day by day." So our inward man, that new person we are in Christ Jesus, it's renewed day by day by the Word of God. Psalm 51, verse 10, the psalmist said this, "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit in me." Renew a right spirit in me. Sin has a way of getting us into the place where we need to be renewed. So he says, renew your mind. And Hebrews 10 says, "Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." He says, don't miss church, because missing church takes you away from God's people, and therefore you can't encourage them and they can't encourage you. You see, if we're going to be successful for the Lord, it's not enough just to say, "I don't want to be like the world." It's not enough just to say, I know what Jesus did for me. He has changed me. I want to be that." Well, you can want that all you want, but unless you do things positively to make your mind renewed so that you're going to make right choices, you're not going to be successful. So our mind has to be renewed. And it's renewed by spending time in the Word of God. It's renewed by getting out there and being active for the Lord. Recently, we had some kittens born at our house. And I had a place outside for them, and a safe place, and the mother cat moved them. I couldn't find them, and I thought, well, she didn't move them. Something came in and got those kittens, and coyote got them and ate them. And they were gone several days, and the kids came over one day, and Silas went out in just a few minutes. He said, "Papa, I found them." And he lifted up the piece of tin, and there they were. She had them under this piece of tin. Then I put them back in the safe place, and next day they were gone again. They found them in a brush pile that I was going to burn as soon as it got dry enough. Found them in the brush pile. So I finally broke down, and you know where they are now? In our house. In the laundry room. Well, Mother Cat, she got sort of used to that last couple days. This morning I got up, opened the laundry room. We don't just let her roam around the house. Opened the laundry room and let her come out, and she walked over to the door, and I opened the door, and she looked at it, and she turned around and walked back. So what did I do? I went and picked her up, and I put her outside, and she stretched, she looked around, and then before long, she was gone. And she was out for probably a half hour. What was it? She had gotten used to being comfortable. And until I put her out there, she didn't go. Once she got out there, she enjoyed it. And that's the way it is with serving the Lord. We can become lazy, and our mind needs to be renewed. We need to be active serving the Lord, but we just can't get out there and do it. So what do we have to do? We just have to do it. You do it first, enjoy it later. You know, do what you know you're supposed to do first and then enjoy it later. Same way with church. Sometimes we know we need to be here. But comes time, you know, there's a special program on TV and, you know, those excuses aren't as good as they used to be. They were never were good, but most of you have capabilities. You can record those things if you really want to. But anyway, but there's no program good enough to miss church over. And so you have all these things. Well, I just don't feel good. And but the fact is you wouldn't feel any worse if you were at church. But, you know, all these things. And how do you overcome that? Well, you just do it. And I've had so many people tell me, you know, I didn't want to come today or I didn't want to come tonight, but now that I came, I'm so glad I did. And we have to do those things so our mind can be renewed. We need that to serve the Lord. But then finally, the last thing in the latter part of this passage is this. We need to redress with the new. We need to redress with the new. Now, as a pastor, I'm of the old school. You know, I like to dress nice. And if I'm going to the hospital, I usually dress up. Occasionally I'll go without a tie, but I usually have a tie on, a sport coat or a suit or something. I grew up that way. I mean, when I first started in my ministry and when I was in seminary, every day in class, 5 days a week, you had to wear a tie to class. I got used to it. I can tie in my sleep. You know, I can just, it's just second nature to me. But I don't mind dressing up and dress for the occasion. But sometimes, you know, we do other things that we don't dress up. I had somebody meet me one time out and they saw me in jeans. They couldn't believe it. I'd wear jeans quite often, but just not. You know, if I'm working at the house, something I will. If I'm working at the house and I need to go to Lowe's, I'll go. I might look terrible, but I still go. But if I'm doing the ministry part, I usually dress up. If I have an old shirt at the house, it's an old corduroy shirt. I like it. It's my work shirt. I've had it for years. It's one of my work shirts. It has a hole right here. It has paint all over it, white paint and other kind of paint. It has paint all over it. It doesn't quite fit me anymore. The seam right, and I think it's shrunk. But I still put it on and I wear it. But you know, I have never worn that to the hospital. I've never done that. What does that say? Well, there's just dress. Some dress is appropriate for some places and it's not appropriate for other places. Now, here we're talking about spiritual dress. And the Lord says, you're a servant of God. And he's not talking about our outward clothes, but he's talking about things that we take off and we put on. And there's some things that just don't look good on the child of God. And there's some things that look good on the child of God. There's some things that are not appropriate. And the Lord says, look, if you were going to go out and get a job at a top-notch company, sitting in an office and everything, and you knew it was going to be a nice, respected job, and it was one that you're supposed to dress up with doing that job, when you went for the interview, you wouldn't go dressed in your work shirt and your jeans and your tennis shoes. You wouldn't do it. You'd probably dress up. You are dressing for success. And the Lord says, look, if you want to be successful as a Christian, after you've rejected the world, after you remember what you are in Christ, after you've renewed your spirit with the right things, then you make sure you take care of your dress. Get rid of the bad things. Put on the good things. Here are the things he tells us about. Verse 22, take off. But put ye off concerning the former conversation, the old man, the way you used to be before you got saved, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. You know what that is. You know what it was like before you got saved. How God was going to change you. And you knew what you had to give up. You knew the things you had to do different. Well, don't put those back on. Take those things off. Get rid of them. It's in the past. Don't do those things. So put off those. But then he says this. But put on. Look at verse 24. That you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Put on the new man. That is the new person you are in Christ Jesus. Put on the characteristics of that. Act like what you are. You're a child of God. Act like it. So here are the things that we're to put off. First of all, he explains this, telling us what we're to put on, I mean. And by telling us what to put on, he has to tell us what to take off first. So look at it in verse 25. He says, take off lying and put on truth. A Christian is a person, if they're going to be successful for the Lord, they don't tell lies and they don't deal with lies. A Christian tells the truth. Notice how he says it in verse 25. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one to another. In the context of the church, we are members one of another. We're part of the same body. We're to have unity in the Spirit. And you don't have that by lying to each other. Let's tell each other the truth. Deal with the truth. You know, a lot of people have a hard time with that, because their old past was so full of lies. And they have a hard time of being just dealing with the truth. Once you learn to do it, it's easier than dealing with lies. Because with lies, you always have to try to remember what you told. But with the truth, you just tell the truth. And so he says, put off the lies, put on the truth. Dress up in the truth. Then the second thing he says in verse 26 and 27 is, be angry and sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. It says this, put off the wrong kind of anger. Have the right kind of anger for a short time. That means there is anger that's acceptable. You know, sometimes, you know, we get angry about things. There's nothing wrong with that if it's the right thing. It's nothing wrong with being angry about sin. It's nothing wrong for a parent when their child lies to them to say, what are you doing? And you get upset because of what they did. But it's wrong if you let that anger carry over to the next day and the next day, and you have a grudge and a chip on your shoulder, and you know it takes you a long time to get over it. The Lord says this, be angry and sin not, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Remember Jesus, he got angry. He went into the temple in John chapter 2 and he drove out the money changers. He got angry over sin. And sometimes we get angry over sin. And a Christian can have anger over the right things. But don't let your anger control you, and let not the sun go down on your wrath. And the reason he says is this, because the devil will take that and he'll use it. An angry Christian is a perfect place for the devil to work. And he knows that. He can get a foothold there in your anger, and he can tear your life apart and cause you to do things you know you shouldn't do. Be angry and sin not. Then he says another thing in verse 27. And that is, he says, or verse 28, let him that stole steal no more. But rather working with his hands, the thing which is good, that he may have give to him that needeth. The Lord says this, take off the stealing and put on work and benevolence. It's interesting in this passage, in this verse, the tense that this is in. And it's like he's talking to the Ephesians and saying, I know some of you out there are still stealing. I wonder today, I don't know of anybody that is, but I wonder today, is anybody here stealing? Anybody stealing on your income tax? Anybody stealing time at work when you should be working and you're not? Anybody stealing from God? The Lord says, you know, if you don't give to the Lord, you steal from Him. Are you stealing? The Lord says this, a Christian should put on new clothes. And those old characteristics of stealing, he says, don't do that. Put that off. Instead, work with your hands. You know, God's very interested in a person working. The Lord says in another place, if a man that won't work, he shouldn't eat. You know, be willing to work. Sometimes we have to do things we don't want to do. But you work. And the Lord wants us to work. But he puts another twist on. He says, you work so that you can have to give to those who need it. So your working will keep you from stealing, And you giving to other people who might be in a destitute condition will help them to keep from stealing too. The Lord says, let's be working and let's be benevolent. A Christian who honors the Lord is dressed up in dependability, in hard work, and he's willing to do what needs to be done to meet the needs. A Christian who is lazy dishonors the Lord. There's no question about it. That's dishonoring to the Lord. But then notice another thing. Look at verse 29. He says, let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying, that may minister grace unto the hearers. A Christian that's serving the Lord and successful is dressed up with this, and that is the right kind of speech. No corrupt communication. Communication that deteriorates. Communication that corrupts people. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying that may minister grace. Our speech should be good. Our speech should be building up people, edifying, and our speech should be gracious. It gives grace to people. That's the kind of speech we have. That means a Christian should not be a gossip. That means the Christian should not be saying harmful things about other people to tear them down. A Christian's speech should be so that it builds people up and ministers grace to those who hear them speak. But then I notice another thing. Look at verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. He says, remove hateful things and put in their place things of love and forgiveness. And these hateful things are mentioned here in verse 31. Bitterness. A bitter spirit. That's like acid in a container. It stays in that container and the only thing it destroys is the container. Bitterness in a person's heart will destroy you. He says, let all bitterness and wrath. Wrath is that outburst of temper. Anger, that seething anger inside. And clamor. Clamor is the loud outcry which leads to arguments and shouting and all of that. Clamor, that shouldn't have a part in a Christian's life. Evil speaking. You're using your voice, your speech to tear people down. Saying evil things about them. And then he says, with malice. With malice. Malice is that desire down inside for people to be hurt. I hope I can get even with them. That's malice. The Lord says, put all that aside in its place. Put this. Verse 32. Be kind one to another. Tender-hearted and forgiving one another. Kind people do good for others. Tender-hearted people are touched by people's problems. And forgiving people are those who don't hold a grudge, who don't hold things against people. You've wronged me, yes, I know, but I forgive you. We'll go on. I forgive. Why should we do that? Because the Lord forgave us. You see, all these things are the dress that's needed for success for the Christian. I cannot be a successful Christian, neither can you, if we're dressed up in terrible speech, if I'm dressed up with anger that controls me, if I'm dressed up with bitterness and wrath and anger and evil speaking and malice, I can't be a successful Christian. So I need to let the Lord have charge of my life, as verse 30 says. Let the Holy Spirit control me so that I will not grieve Him. I read an interesting account. It's in Dr. Wiersbe's little book. He had a long, many years of pastoral ministry as well as later Bible conference work and writing extensively. And he says this, a handsome elderly man stopped at my study one day and asked me if I would perform a wedding for him. I suggested that he bring the bride in so that we might chat together and get better acquainted, since I hesitate to marry strangers. Before she comes in, he said, let me explain this wedding to you. Both of us have been married before, to each other. Over 30 years ago, we got into an argument. I got mad and we separated. Then we did the stupid thing and got a divorce. I guess we were both too proud to apologize. Well, all of these years we've lived alone, and now we see how foolish we've been. Our bitterness has robbed us of the joys of life, and now we want to marry and see if the Lord won't give us a few years of happiness before we die. Isn't that like sin? Deceitful. It deceives us and in the process robs us. The Lord says, Christian, don't be dressed in that kind of stuff. You want to be used of the Lord? Get rid of those things. Don't let that characterize you. And the Lord will control you and you'll not grieve the Spirit. And you'll be a Christian that's successful for Him. Let's pray. Father, thank you today for teaching us these truths that are so clear in this passage. I pray that we might be a person that rejects the world's way, that remembers what we are in Christ, that we would renew our mind, Lord, by the things that you've given us to do that, and that we would redress, we would take off those old things, and we put on the new things associated with a child of God, that we might be victorious for you. You've got a big job for us to do, Lord. Help us not to hinder it by the wrong things that we put on. Help us to be obedient to you and use us for your glory. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.